Good evening, and thank you for joining us this evening on another edition of Bargain Issue Comics,
a podcast.
I'm Adam, and Corey is my fellow host.
Hello.
Where we will be talking today about one of the greatest comic books ever created.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost in the Shell by Masamune Shiro.
I thought you were going to say Archie, because Archie Comics was the greatest. But you know what? Ghost in the Shell is a good one.
Oh, gross. Oh, my God. Ew. Ew. I was never a big fan of Archie Comics, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, that's fair.
If while we're on the subject of Archie, though, there are newer ones, apparently, that I should read, because they're not the same as the ones that were at the checkout counters. They're much more, I think there's like a horror one, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. I remember there was like, oh, I should check out that. That sounds different than the Betty and Veronica nonsense.
Fair enough. But anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to take us away from Ghost in the Shell, sir. Do you want to hit the fans with the boilerplate before we get into it? There are several versions, so what do you have?
I don't know. I'm glad you said that. My personal copy, I don't know if you can, I don't think it's in print anymore. I have the Dark Horse comic that I got way back in the... So it was the second one of the Dark Horse that I got because someone broke into my car and stole, the only thing they stole out of my car was my copy of Ghost in the Shell.
Jeez.
That was the only thing they stole out of it. And I was like, ouch.
That,
like,
sounds that personal, man.
That hurts.
That actually that hurts sounds personal.
Like took something I love from me. So I ended up having to buy another copy years later when I wanted to read it again, which I never really did, because I will say that Ghost in the Shell is one of those comics that I read regularly. I know that sounds weird. Maybe it's like my, what is it? Catcher in the Rye that everybody has to read like every now and again, or Lord of the Rings.
There is absolutely nothing wrong with going back to your favorites list and reading them again. I fully support that. I've got ones that I do that all the time with.
Okay, the first introduction for Ghost in the Shell for me, this is a special boilerplate because of how many, and you called it right off the bat. my first ever Ghost in the Shell came, my grandmother got me my subscription for Wizard Magazine. Oh, God, I miss Wizard Magazine. Something the internet killed. And it gave me the prologue, to the prologue part. It was in there. It's it's a small, like the size of a manga. Like think like a standard, not the, I don't even know numbers. I'm about to literally say numbers. I don't even know what they mean. Not the 7.3 inches, not the 7.3 inches, but probably closer to like 5.5 inches.
I just for everybody listening, like, What is that like book wise? Because it's a little hard to just think about that in terms of the number.
Oh, okay. You think of like a paperback novel versus a hardback novel.
Ah, okay. All right. Cool. That'll work. Thank you.
So the size of what no doubt you have is probably 7x10.
Yeah, it's probably pretty closer huge. To somewhere.
But I don't. We'll get to that in here in a second. I did go. I chopped it up. Because mine, I also have the very first issue. Oh, just brush my shoulder off of the Dark Horse single issues.
Oh, okay, cool.
I think they did eight issues in the Dark Horse issue. I don't even remember because I only have the first one. Because then I stopped buying them when I realized I could just buy the trade paperback and have all of them. and I will tell you this because spoiler alert for the next couple of episodes. We are going to be talking about nothing but Ghost in the Shell. This is like this is a 2-hour podcast about like this is some Joe is Rogan not, bullshit right
it's
now.
It's not 2 hours. We're not doing 2-hour episodes. Collectively, 30, they will be 2 hours.
It's 4 30-minute episodes about Ghost in the Shell. This is on Amazon.com right now. Because I hope people don't hate me because I plug. I'm not really plugging Amazon. That's just like the easiest way that I can like talk about price with like the broadest range of people, right? Mm-hmm. Like the base. That's why I always talk about Amazon because
just get into it, man. Just get into it. You don't 25, have to apologize.
25.56. You can probably get it for $13.38.
Mm-hmm.
352 pages. This one that I'm talking about on Amazon is a hardcover, I believe, from Kondasha.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the one that I have is the trade paperback from Dark Horse. So that's a little, can't really speak to that. Mine came out back in like, I don't know. I got this back in like 2000 something, maybe. I don't even know. So, 2003, I want to say.
The one
it was originally published in Japan 1989 to about 91 for Ghost in the Shell for the first run, and it is 7.3 by 0.04 by 10.21 inches. I don't know. Get a ruler. Figure it out. 16.
We are not mathematicians here.
16 plus. This is apparently not for kids. I don't know. Maybe as we'll talk about this, we can talk more about be like, oh, that's a reason why it's not for kids. I don't know. We'll talk about that. We can talk about that. 16 plus is what it says.
So the version I have is the Kodansha one you mentioned. I got it like 3-4 years ago, I want to say. But it's the version that combines the first Ghost in the Shell with what we're going to be talking about in the next couple episodes, one at Ghost in the Shell 1.5 and Ghost in the Shell 2. And so I'm not gonna lie, this book is a brick. You could probably hurt someone with it, but I also appreciate that they kind of blew up all of the pages in this one because Masamune Shiro has packs so much into his panel pages pages. And I don't say that pejoratively or anything. It's just he packs so much in. I think I've read it 3 times now, and I still catch stuff that I've missed. Or, oh, he explains this whole concept. I didn't even notice this.
Now you have the fully compiled edition.
Correct.
That one's $44 on Amazon.com. It's a hardcover. 832 pages. That's a chunky boy.
It is a big book. I think it's the biggest comic I own.
So just to talk about like the size, that is 7.28 by 1.88. That's thick. That's almost... It's almost 2 inches thick.
Jeez.
That's a nice thick stack of comics right there. It's a lot of comics. It is a lot of comics.
It is. But I wanted to say this before we get into Ghost in the Shell. So I had a very weird roundabout way to getting to the actual comics. So when I was younger, there was an anime called Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex that came on Adult Swim. And, just absolutely fell in love with the world. It's an excellent anime, still holds up to this day. Watched the second season of it. I watched, the prequel one they have is called Arise. I watched that. I read the manga of that. And then I finally said, you know what? I've even seen the first Ghost in the Shell movie. I need to actually go back and read.
Oh my gosh, you didn't even start with the first.
I didn't.
His name is, the guy that did the. Oh my gosh.
When I first started out like the Standalone Complex, I did not know how many different entries there were in it. And I was just like, oh, this is cool. And it's like, oh, it's so much bigger. And I'm so happy I did.
So did you see Ghost in the Shell Innocence?
No, I actually haven't seen Innocence.
Okay, I've only seen they. I don't even know if they dubbed it. I've only seen that one subtitled.
Okay,
this is my favorite, hands down. I bought all of those things that you just said and extras on DVD.
Nice. So
it's got a rather extensive, useless DVD collection at this point. Like, I have to dust off my old Xbox to even have a DVD driver. It's really sad, but it's like, I don't want to get rid of it. I also, for that very same reason, I have, like, all of Cowboy Bebop.
I have
Chronos Crusade. Do you remember that comic we read? I have that on DVD.
Nice.
That whole series. So it's like, I don't want to throw either of these things away, but I'm not like, I have to hook it up. Like, it's not even hooked up. I feel like, I'm going to be an old man and I'm going to be like, now is the day to go back and watch. You know, the sad thing is there are several that you can't even watch. Ghost in the Shell, Standalone Complex, Solid State Society. Did you see that one?
Yes, I actually saw that movie. Ridiculous title, decent movie.
Oh, it's an incredible story about like how old people are like the solid state. Because
oh my god, I love that conspiracy. It was one of my favorite. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, it's so good. There's like it always makes me think there's another anime where it's about a bed, like a medical bed that takes over and like becomes like sentient. Mm-hmm. And it tries to protect the host. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, I've seen that. I know exactly what you're talking about. That is a good movie.
It always makes me, for some reason, those two are tied in my head. Anyway, we're kind of sidetracking to the anime. We could definitely do that. I feel like we probably will. I kind of wanted to, because we're going to be doing our Joe Rogan size podcast here.
Joe Rogan.
You said it. You said it again. Not me. I want to. to take
really hey, you so dives. Much
I really wanted to take some deep dives into this book, this first, well, yours is, I mean, it's one book for you, but for a lot of
it's one shell, book we can break it up
in 1.5. I think it breaks up. That's the way it was kind of published for a long time. That was the way it was published. They did have a hardback cover with Ghost in the Shell 1.5 and 2, where each of them were their own book that you didn't like have to have that big of a chonky boy. But like,
I do honestly get why 1.5 is not published with 2 a lot of times, because it's tonally, it's definitely different. But we can get into that in another episode.
Sheer mechanics of your book. Mine was made by Dark Horse.
Mm-hmm.
Mine reads from right to left. I mean, from left to right.
Like
an English book, but yours is the other way around as it was originally published. So
correct, right to left.
I'm super jealous of like you having it all in one bound book. And because in the process of doing this, I did Ghost in the Shell and 1.2. I did all my notes and I got my thoughts. I've read both of these books extensively, but this was the time that I went back and like, no, I'm going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to make notes. 1.5, I have as single issues. Bought them because I was impatient and I really wanted to read it before I, you know, it's the same for 2 for me, because I bought them as soon as they were in English.
Okay.
And that was from, don't have patience, but now look how far we've come, where you can have it all as like the size of a baby.
Let's go ahead and just dive into Ghost of the Shell. To start it off, man, I think this is one of my favorite sci-fi future worlds. I have always loved this world, and I really, it's rare. It's one of the ones where the comics versus the animes and the movies are all kind of different, but they all keep that same through line. I love that.
Absolutely. It is a cyberpunk, for those of you who don't know what Ghost in the Shell is. It is a cyberpunk police procedural. Now, to define what cyberpunk is, cyberpunk is usually considered high tech, low class. So you get criminals that have super high tech gadgets to do their crime, but they're scuzzbags. So, but it's that blend of technology is so prevalent that even dirtbags can use it and look cool. William Gibson is how I originally learned about cyberpunk, but really, Masamune Shiro showed me what cyberpunk literally showed me, because it's a visual medium. Showed me. Well, Gibson was a novelist, so it's not quite the same. Did you know that's not that's not a real name? That's a fake name.
William Gibson?
No, shut up. No, Masamune Shiro.
No, actually, I didn't know that was fake.
Yes, that is a fake name. That is his real name. Masamune is a legendary sword.
Oh, okay. All right.
Have you ever heard of Final Fantasy VII?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Sephiroth, the long white-haired guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, his long-ass sword is called Masamune?
Like, his long-ass sword is called Masamune. I could be wrong. I could be talking on my ass. I talk out of my ass all the time. You know what? Speaking of that,
Masamune is definitely in Final Fantasy game.
Just because talking out of my ass is something I have to like curb down. Apparently, it was not Leonardo da Vinci that drew freehand a perfect circle.
Oh, you meant from the last episode when you were talking about that?
Yeah, I want everybody to know that I fact checked myself, and I learned. And you can, if anybody ever tries to pull that bullshit on you, like that bullshit. You can also say that now.
Well,
Don't answer wrong. Jeopardy. Apparently, there's some like Getty or Gotti or Goidel who might have done it. I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay. All right. Let's bring it back to the Ghost of the Shell, though.
Draws a damn perfect circle. No. Are there any purple? Bato's eyes are perfect circles. See, it's a perfect circle.
There you go.
Are 11 chapters in Ghost in the Shell without no subtitles, just Ghost in the Shell. There were 11 chapters. parts? Some of those chapters I don't necessarily think should be called chapters.
I don't know. It's the police procedural kind of aspect of it. Each of the chapters is its own thing, but also built into the rest of the story, because it's you end up with the puppeteer. Also, the puppeteer has an influence on a lot of different things in the story. But
I will say yes, to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. 4 and 5, which are Megatech Machine 1 and 2, are basically hyped up Tachikoma days. If you remember from the TV show,
I love that episode
at the end where the Tachikomas were running around.
I love every iteration of those murder tanks, man. They're not some of Tachikomas, my favorite things.
They're Fuchikomas in this one, though. They tripped us up. I don't know if that the case in your book.
It's Fuchikomas in these and Tachikomas in Standalone Complex. But the weird thing is, in Solid State Society, the Tachikoma, or no. In Second Gig, the Tachikomas sacrifice themselves, and then they bring in Fuchikomas. So it's this weird kind of everything comes back to zero.
They do that, and there's so many like, that's Standalone Complex. Don't confuse that with Arise. And then there was, I think there's another one. There was like Ghost in the Shell, the new movie. I don't know. And then there's the one that's on Netflix. So there's like...
Oh, yeah, there's 2045, too. I forgot about that.
Oh, my gosh. There's like so many There's so many different ones, and it's like, which does that happen in this one?
Yeah.
Are we in the stories?
So, okay. Here's one thing that's always got me about Ghost in the Shell, the manga. Coming from the different animes and the films... You don't get the same amount of comedy or comedic moments that you do in the manga. There's very much the gag feel to certain conversations or things happening in the manga, which kind of, it threw me when I first read it. It's like, huh, this is not, the major is so much, I don't know, nicer is much the word.
Dry. But she's much more dry in the manga, in the anime.
Yes.
In the manga, she is very much got a personality. Right off the bat, when she's like, that's one of my favorite scenes, when she punches, she infiltrates the guy's ghost and makes him punch himself in the face. And she's like, fuck it. I don't have a job and I'm okay with it. I'm going to do a different thing. You guys, I'll help you out with an exercise resume. Like, what? Who is this lady? Oh, I love her. I will say that I love, she's very different in the anime and the manga. Mm-hmm. Both of them, still think she's an awesome character.
Oh, she's one of my favorite characters.
And we've got a third one. Forgot about the live action. That's a completely different major. She's not even, like, it's not even the major. We don't even talk about the live action.
Oh, the Scarlet.
I like Ghost in the Shell, so I like all things Ghost in the Shell. But I will say that it is way off in its own thing, where it was just like, Hollywood wants to pretend like it understands Ghost in the Shell. Okay.
Yeah, it's not the best, but I think one of the random comedic moments, it's like the second chapter of it, where they get pissed off at Aramaki, who is kind of the leader of the unit they are in, and Bato sets off a bomb in the dude's car. Yep. And then the chief is just fine and gets on this little tiny moped and
scoots away. I love, that's a trope that comes back later, the tiny vehicle trope. Right? Oh, that is a good moment. I love those. And it has one of those classic anime moments where it's like her mouth goes all like pointy teeth.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, it's such a great moment. Seriously, this it's all of it is so well blended in terms of all the things that it moves together. So we got 11 chapters broken into a prologue.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Super Spartan, then Junk Jungle, Robot Rondo, Phantom Fund, Dumb Barter, Bye Bye Clay, Brain Drain, Ghost Coast. Those are the big ones. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat. So let's talk a little bit about each one. Just like briefly talk on each one. What do you say? Does that sound fun?
Sure.
Did you want to talk about anything else? Is that fun? I don't know.
No.
So the prologue is about a is kind of like a corpo kind of thing where we got some diplomats that are acting badly, and they use the major as an assassin in that mm-hmm. one. That's before she's really like, that's how we're introduced to the world that wet works are real and right under the nose of government.
I've really always liked how the series uses bureaucracy in working. Like, it's these people are specialists and do wet works, but they also have to go through certain chains and do negotiations. Mm-hmm. Say, all right, cool, my government unit is going to do this, stay out of it, and we don't have any problems. So I don't know, I always found that interesting.
And this is right before, like, this is before Section 9 exists mm-hmm. in the prologue. So it's really, it's just the major. This is what the major was doing before. Like, moments before she was in Section 9, she was doing this.
Moments before.
So then the next time we see our group of intrepid heroes is in Super Spartan. What a cool name. I like that name.
I love those, I don't know if you call them battle suits or whatever those guards have. I always liked those suits. I thought they were neat.
Are they suits or them? Are you talking about the ones that are guarding the sacred citizens?
Yeah, are they not the ones that are guarding the sacred citizens? Are those not suits? Or are those?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I would say there's probably cyborgs. I wonder if it even mentions. I think those are cyborgs. Yeah, they, look at his arm.
Cyborgs probably is it. I do forget that.
And considering what they're doing in that place, they're brainwashing people, folks. It's a brainwashing facility.
Mm-hmm. And a very common thing in Ghost in the Shell, actually.
And they say right off the bat that it's illegal, though. Two things right off the bat that get used later on in anime, because it's so fun as a constant fan of these comics, is to see the comics in the anime, because they took... This is such an episodic story. They didn't lift direct whole cloth anywhere. I don't think they really did it anywhere. Puppeteer, kinda, and Innocence, kinda. They kind of lifted them right out of the comics. But for later on, for the standalone complex, they used it like a Rubik's Cube and just pulled things from one place and moved it around and molded it around. And it's so fun to see where they do that. They do that with the Cherry Blossom Fest. Mm-hmm. Like you said, when the Tachikomas get busted up and they're waiting for their next assignment at the very end of the second season or the very end of the first season?
It's the end of the second season of Standalone Complex.
Where they're watching the cherry blossoms and they wrap it up and then they roll off. That is the very beginning of Spartan. And it's so cool. And then later on in Arise, they do the brain dive into the Major's brain to get the briefing. And it looks very similar to the one in this. So it's like spread out all over all the anime. It's beautiful. I love it.
And I think that's, we can talk about this more once we get into the other works too, but I really love how they all kind of keep that similar motif, but there are definitely thematic differences between them. But just the fact that they will take these certain scenes, it's like, it's very iconic to the series. It's like, okay, maybe we got here a different way, but it's just, if it makes a nice continuity. Also, just being a nerd, I love seeing them all more. I recognize this scene. Yay.
Exactly. It has got to be like candy for us who read the comics. In Super Spartan, we get a first glimpse of who Togusa is and Ishikawa. That's pretty much the only thing in these. The characters aren't really fleshed out except for the Major, Bato, and the Chief. Those are the ones you mainly get people of. You get a little bit of Togusa. You see he's a family man. Mm-hmm. You get a little bit of Ishikawa, that he's the gruff XO and the lieutenant to the thing. Moving on, Jungle is the next one, and that's where we get the puppeteer. Ooh, love me some puppeteer.
It's interesting. I honestly, reader or listener, excuse me, definitely go read this comic. It doesn't really do it justice to explain the puppeteer all the way. Also, it's interesting that the movie treats it a little bit differently, but you kind of get to the same spot.
Different. It's, you know what it almost reminds me of is that whole thing in Full Metal Alchemist, where the ending is different and it verged from the same material. But it kind of, if you squint. Those go way different. So no, that doesn't really apply.
It did.
It's just another example of where a story converge, I guess. And I don't know.
No, I get you.
That's an unformed thought. Aborted baby of thought. Just die baby thought. That go away now. Robot Rondo. Robot Rondo is basically the plot of Innocence. Not really basically. Except in Innocence. So in Innocence, since you've not seen it, Major is gone. Because the events of the first movie did happen. Direct sequel to it. So it's Bato alone. And you kind of get, there's elements of the robots going crazy and stuff like that. It's, I don't know. It's not as good. I don't know. It tries to be a little more deep and kind of focus in on the wrong aspect, maybe, of Ghost in the Shell. It's not as good. Too many Basset Hounds. One of my favorite things from Robot Rondo, not the sexy golf cart attendant, the box bot.
The box CEO. Jameson bot.
I love that. It's one of my favorites. I think he's got a country accent in.
Yes. Oh my god. They absolutely put that character in Standalone Complex. It is one of my favorite pieces.
And that is one of those Leonardo DiCaprio on a couch pointing to the TV moments.
And in the so you'll appreciate this. In the dub, he's a straight up Texan.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've seen that one. I've got it on the DVD. The DVD, Phantom Fund. Oh, what was that one about? That one was about the, I love the beginning of the Phantom Fund with the, Tachikoma that touches the older model Tachikoma.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh my God, I'm glimpsing the edge of like, and then the major just kicks the foot away and says to him, remember your role as my suit. Again, one of those moments where things are directly lifted from the manga and used in animes up until like last decade or whatever it is. I don't know when they made Arise, but that had a direct reference to, and I was just like, oh my God, she says, remember my role as my suit. And it's just, I love it when she talks to him. So
it's a very interesting kind of, sort of antagonistic, you're a tool to me relationship she has in every iteration when it comes to these tags.
Oh,
I always kind of like it because she's so different than Bato, who just dotes on these things like the proud father.
So yeah, I've got more. Let's go. Bye-bye, Clay. That's where, okay. So 9, 10, and 11 on these first one. It's hard to talk about, especially when I have like only like a few minutes left in this particular show to talk about it. It gets so deep. It is so hard to explain it. Like he has footnotes and annotations galore in this book, and it is hard to get your brain around it.
It is truly rewards you for a couple of rereads, but. These are, we won't, although we may not be able to get through in too deep on all of it, we can also keep talking about this for 1.5 because it does sort of tie into it. But,
we could definitely, we'll have to cover more. It's just hard to, cover all of that.
Yeah, yeah. No,
needless to say, it has a lot to do with Project 2501. 2501 gained sentience.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wants to merge with the major. The major gets hung out to dry. There's like a whole thing where they're gonna pin like all the political hate onto the major for just doing her job and like, oh, you killed the wrong guy. I think that also gets used in the anime. There's so many times.
Yeah, that's literally the last three episodes of Standalone Complex.
That's used in the anime. Oh, that great scene in Standalone Complex where they assassinate the sniper takes her down. Oh my
god, it's such a good scene. Oh my god, we might have to do an episode just on that. Some of the animes, man. But you know what? Before we go off into that tangent, we'll need to close this one out. Adam, do you have any wonderful words of wisdom for our listeners to take home with them?
I'm going to keep it simple and direct. If you have not read Ghost in the Shell, go find a way of reading it. If you've managed to get into this podcast that we do and this thing where Corey and I talk about comics and we try and get people to go and enjoy comics, go and enjoy this one. It, all seriousness this week and maybe the next four issues three issues because I truly believe that everyone should read Ghost in the Shell. If you like comics, this is the Mount Everest of comics.
I don't know. The Mount Everest might be One Piece at this point.
Okay. What's a really good mountain then? That's not as high.
Mount McKinley.
There you go. This is a Mount McKinley. I don't know.
All right, you heard it here, folks. Go read Ghost in the Shell, and we'll see you in our next issue where we're talking about 1.5. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.